If you would stand with me across the building today, we got to read Galatians 2 and 20. And so Brother Robert's not here today. He's visiting another church today. So I gave him a break, my deacon a break. So, but he'll be back next Sunday. So, but let's read Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building. It is good that we can be in the house of the Lord. We want to thank those for watching us today live. And my prayers are something I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today. And so I'm excited to know that this is the reason for the season. And we know that our kids and grandkids are getting ready for Santa Claus and getting ready for Christmas morning as all kids get excited. But we really truly know what the real meaning of Christmas really is, and that is our Lord and Savior, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, has come to give us life, and He is Emmanuel. God is with us. And so we thank the Lord today that you and I can celebrate not just around Christmas time, but we can celebrate every day to know that our Lord came for you and He came for me that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I thank God for that as well. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, beginning with the seventh verse. We're looking at the miracle series, sermon number 3, and the title of my message today is Why the Manger Instead of a Mansion? Why the Manger Instead of a Mansion? And so we know that our Lord Jesus Christ could have been worthy, and He was who He was. He could have been in a mansion, but He was in a manger. And I'm going to tell you the reason why that He came in a manger instead of a mansion. So in Luke's Gospel 2 and 7, and we want to open up our Bibles, and there's a Bible on the pew there that's going to be projected on the screen. And if you have your Bibles, hold them up high. That's the sword of the Spirit. So we've got those and got their word there in front of them, because I want you to follow along with me. I don't want you just to hear what I've got to say, but I want you to see what God's Word says. And as the Word of God penetrates our hearts and our minds today, let's look at this. Luke's Gospel 2 and 7. We're familiar with the Christmas story. If you're not familiar with it, you will hear today. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let me read that again. Luke's Gospel 2 and 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there were no room for them in the inn. Can I hear an amen to God's Word? I want you to know today the night of miracles begin to take place in this passage. We see the taxing, even was that miracle, and we see the trip to Bethlehem was a miracle. I talked about last Sunday about how many different things was going on, that God is a multitask God. There's a lot of things that God is doing at one time. And when you think that things are not going your way and you think that God doesn't have His mind on you, think again, because God is thinking of you. He's thinking of 1,000. He's thinking of 1,000,000. He's thinking of 100,000,000. God's mind and what He does. The Bible says, how unsearchable are His ways, they are far past finding. Your thoughts are not His thoughts. Your ways are not His ways. And so that's the one thing about a God that becomes a mystery to you and I. He loves us and gave His Son to us, and that He would bring hope that he would bring love, that he would bring peace, that he would bring joy. All of these words are descriptions of what the Lord Jesus Christ brings to you and me on a daily basis. Now think about that. Think about that God's mind and his heart is on you. And the Bible says that even when your mind is not on him, his mind is on you. Why? Because he loves you. He created you. He formed you. He fashioned you. Just as he told the prophet Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Boy, that's mind-boggling. That'll scratch your head. You're going like, wow. Didn't even exist, but you still knew who I was. That's the God that we serve. And so in this passage, we see that God has come down with the angel of the Lord, and here was Mary, here was Joseph, and they're going to find, trying to find a place because this child was coming forth. And of course, you know, Joseph says, whoa, wait a minute, I haven't had a relationship with you. I haven't been intimate with you. What's happening here, Mary? And so the angel of the Lord's trying to calm Joseph's nerves and trying to calm Mary and the shepherds and all of this is taking place. But we know that the miracle child was coming no matter what. It doesn't matter if he was going to be in a manger. It doesn't matter if he was going to be in a mansion. It doesn't matter where they were going to end up at. He was coming. God was bringing the ultimate sacrifice. And I want you to get this today, folks, through this Christmas series. God was bringing an ultimate sacrifice unto us because he was born to die. He was going to be born, and he was going to be the child. He was going to be what God wanted him to be, but eventually he was going to die. And you may say, Pastor, why was he going to die? He was going to die for you and me because all sin and all iniquity was going to be placed on the cross and nailed to the tree, nailed to him, so that you and I could be set free and that we would no longer have to be in sin, but we could be saved from our sins. You see, God saw all of this. God saw all of this, and it was taking place, and it was unfolding before their eyes. Micah 5:2, Micah the prophet said this in the Old Testament, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet one of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying again, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, over 800 years, we see Micah the prophet is speaking that Jesus Christ was going to come and that he was going to save the world. That's why I wonder sometimes people want to dispute the Word of God. They want to dispute things. Listen, it is prophetically, it has spoken, it has been said. The Word of God stands the test of times. There has not been any discrepancy. There has not been anything that has not taken place. It has. And that's the only book in the world that we see today that has taken place day by day. You can read good. You can read about good scholars. You can read about other men and women that have made predictions. Nostradamus and all those have made predictions. Sometimes he's got it. Sometimes he hadn't. But the Word of God has been true every step of the way. There's no other book in the world. I challenge you. There's no other book because the Word of God is the Word. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we can understand today that God loves us so much that he brought his one and only son. Listen, the timing of the birth was even a miracle. Galatians 4:4 says this, as the Apostle Paul writes, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." In other words, we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And because Jesus has come to the world and as the miracle child has come, you and I can be set free and we can be sons and daughters. We can join up with Jesus. We can join up with the Father in heaven because through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, the incarnation was even a miracle. John 1:14, John's Gospel 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth." So there again we see the Word of God is backing everything up to the miracle child so that you and I have the reassurance and we have the assurance to know that what God has said, he has done, it has been fulfilled for you and I. I want you to know this miracle child is for you. This miracle child is for me. The Lord Jesus Christ is for you. It is a gift. It is a gift. The Bible clearly lets us know that is the gift of salvation. He gives you that ultimate gift, that gift of eternal life. That's the gift of the miracle child that is easy to receive. Freely given is freely received, and you can receive that gift. If you've never received the gift of eternal life, you can receive the gift of eternal life. You can even receive the gift of eternal life today. You may say, "Well, Pastor, how can I receive this gift?" All you have to say is, "Lord, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart and life, Lord, and save me." And the Bible says that if you believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he arose on the third day, he's seated with the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. That's the miracle child that you will receive. That's the gift. That's the living hope. That's the assurity. That's to be assured to know that Jesus Christ truly was born that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You see, the miracle and the manger begin to take place. Have you wondered why Christ was laid in a manger? Why not a mansion? My first point today is this. The manger perfectly pictures his rejection. I want you to look at this with me today. The manger perfectly pictures his rejection. Nobody had room for him at the end. Nobody knew who he was. Everybody thought, oh, it's the same old, same old. It's a man and a woman, a child out of wedlock. They're not even married. They're messing around. You know what? It's just another thing that's just happened. And there's no room because they're embarrassing us. They're not part of us. In other words, there's rejection. And so it clearly let them know, well, the child's got to be born, so I guess just go ahead and put them in the smelly stable, you know, put them, you know, where they're at. You see, there was perfectly rejection that was going on. There was no room for the Lord Jesus Christ in the room. Room for business in the end. There's room for pleasure in the end. There's room for others in the end. But there was no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. My question to you today, is there room in your life? Is there room in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life? Have you crowded everything else? Have you allowed everything else to become your God? to control you, to cause you to drift from the Lord, or cause you not to be able to receive the miracle child? Has other things taken place? Because if it is, you're rejecting the ultimate gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate gift that will save your soul, the ultimate gift that will give you peace, will give you joy, will give you contentment, and will give you everlasting love. You see, the amazing rejection of the message, as we see in 1 John 1 and 1 through 14, we see that there was the Word of God. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was the Creator, the one that created heaven and earth. John 1 and 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Word was made by God. The world was made by the Word of God. John 1 and 10, He was in the world, and the world was made, the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. The world knew Him not. He was the ultimate Messiah, the healer, the one that would be the miracle child. His own received Him not. John 1 and 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Even His own family would reject Him. Those that were around Him would reject Him. Christ is the Word. And we see that in John 1 and 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The world still rejects Him today. And you may say, why, Pastor? Why does the world reject Him today? Because the world does not want to fully surrender to His Lordship. We live in a world where that God allows us to be a free moral agent. He allows us to do whatever we want to do. He's not a God in the heavens with a billy bat that you've always heard me say that's ready to pound you out because you did something wrong. That's not a God that we serve. We serve a God that loves us. We serve a God that's just. And we know that God is God. And we know that He wants the very best for us. And the things that we select in life may not be the best things for our life. Because we think, well, I'm going to be what I want to be. Say what I want to say. Go where I want to go. Do where I want to do. Be what I want to be. Your pastor's about to become a rapper here a little bit, huh? There we go. But do you see my point here? That's the world which we live. That's the world which we know of. Because we live in a world that says, I don't need you to tell me anything. I don't need you. And this is another 21st century term. I don't need you to preach to me. You know, we got families that have children that have to deal with issues, and they think their parents is preaching to them. But what they're really doing is they're trying to tell them the truth. They're trying to lead them in the right way. And you know, parents may not have all the answers. I knew I didn't have all the answers with my two children. You know, I had to lean on the Lord a lot because I didn't have all the, and a parent doesn't have all the answers. But let me tell you who does have the answers, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the answer. Why? Because God has brought the miracle child to us. He has brought us everlasting joy, peace, and contentment. He's brought us living hope. You and I have living hope. We don't have to look down, and we don't have to be gloom and doom and agony and defeat, but we can hold our head up high, give the world a smile, and let them know that you're serving a God that brings victory on top of victory. Why? Because He went through death, hell, and the grave. He arose on the third day. He's seated with the right hand of the Father, and you and I have that freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. Because that's the God that we serve. The devil doesn't want you to pray. The devil doesn't want you to read your Bible. The devil doesn't want you to meditate on the Lord Jesus Christ. He don't even want you to talk about Jesus. He don't even want you to say the word. Listen, the devil don't even want you to say Merry Christmas. Because in the word Merry Christmas, there's Christ, the word Christ. Oh, it's happy holidays. It's oh, happy this. It's happy that. But folks, I want you to know today, Jesus Christ has come to save the world. And yet the world may crowd him out and push him away. Guess what? The Holy Spirit will speak to you and I. And that little small voice that we have in our heart and in our life that we're hearing is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit that speaks to us to know that we have a God in heaven, that we know there's somebody bigger than us, there's somebody bigger than you, and there's somebody that is in control and not out of control. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Folks, I want you to know there is living hope. There is living hope. Listen, the world still rejects him today, but that doesn't change the Word of God. Your family, your friends, your loved ones may reject the Word of God. Your family, your friends may not want to come to church. They may be rejecting on coming to church. Listen, tell the devil he is a liar. You keep your family in prayer and you stay in church. And I promise you, a family that stays in church, a family that prays in church will stay together. Your family will be rock solid. And anything that comes your way, you can look to the source of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll give you the power and the strength for you to continue on. And God will save your family. And that's what you need today. You need God to save your family. Listen, houses, cars, wealth and rich and everything is going to go to this earth. But what you can do, you can't take it to heaven. But what you can do is you can take your family to church. You can take them to heaven. And God will bless you in your efforts and what you do. When you put your family before the Lord Jesus Christ and you put your family on the altar and you bring them to the cross and say, Lord, I fully surrender. Lord, I want you to do something in me like you've never done before. I want you to do something in my family's life like you've never done before. Then that's when God becomes God in your life. When you fully surrender to him, then he will be God in your life. Hallelujah. My second point today is the manger perfectly pictures his redemption. The manger perfectly pictures his redemption. The two signs given by the angels to the shepherds. There were two signs that was given by the angels to the shepherds. Wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The lying in the manger became the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. And these were two signs. You'll see him wrapped in swaddling clothes, and you will see this child, the miracle child, lying in a manger, which represents the Lamb of God. John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God. John's Gospel 1 and 29. The next day, John the Baptist seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. That was the Lamb. That was the ultimate sacrifice that was about to be sacrificed. As you heard me say, he was born to die. That was the Lamb of God. That was the ultimate sacrifice that was about to be taken place in this manger, that he would grow and that he would do what the Father asked him to do as Son, and that he would die for you and I. You see, it was not far from the manger to the cross. We must not forget the cross at this time of year. Paul's description of the birth ties to the cross, as we see in Galatians 4 and 4, to redeem them that were under the law. Philippians 2 and 5, even the death of the cross. The Lamb in Revelation, as we read, talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelations 5 and 9, the last book of the Bible. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such are in the sea, all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessings, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the four and the 20 elders fell down and worshiped him, the living, the liveth forever and ever. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is in the heavens, it has already been recorded that Jesus is the ultimate Lamb. The Lamb born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, came into this world. Hallelujah. And He will be the ultimate one that we will worship in heaven one day. If we make heaven our home, we will one day see all of this unfold. And we will see all of the worship as the angels will worship. And every sea creature in the sea and every animal across the land and everything, guess what? Will focus into the Lamb of God. Think about that. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter what their nationality is. It doesn't matter what they're in and whatever. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that the miracle child is King of kings and Lord of lords. And Revelations 15 and 3, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. The Bible goes on and says in Revelation 17 and 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is the Lord of lords, King of kings. And they that are with Him are called the chosen and the faithful. Revelations 19 and 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. The bride, the groom. The Apostle Paul gives a vivid description of how that we are the bride of Christ. Jesus is the groom. He's coming back for His church. He's coming back for His believers. He's coming back for His bride. Paul gives that vivid description that when a bride comes and meets the groom will come to the bride. As you see in a traditional wedding, that you'll see the bride come and meet the groom, and they will unite together and become one. That's the same way it will be as Jesus Christ looks at us. As believers, the Lamb will meet. We will meet with the Lamb. We will meet with the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we must understand that He is the ultimate miracle. Third, in my closing today, the manger perfectly pictures His. His reachability. God will meet you right where you're at. It is not that he is so far that he's not moved by compassion, because he's moved by compassion. He's moved by your infirmities. He's moved by your struggles. He is moved by the difficulties of life that you and I go through. But he can reach you. He can reach you. You say, Pastor, how can he reach me? Does he really know? Yes, he does. He knows. God the Father knows exactly how to lose a son. Because the Bible clearly says that God had to look away from his son when he was on the tree. You say, well, Pastor, how can a father look away from his son on the tree? Because he saw all the sin and all the iniquity of this world was placed on his son. And God can't see the iniquity. He can't see the ugly. He can't see that. And that is when God looked at his son and had to turn. And that's when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Listen, Jesus knows what it's like to be forsaken. Jesus knows what that's like in rejection. He knows what that's like. And yet he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. And yet the piercing, yet the humility, yet the spitting, yet all of the things that took place of our Lord and Savior, and he said, forgive them. And the thief beside him, as two thieves was on each side, one thief says, well, if you think that you are who you are, then get us off this cross. And the other thief says, Lord, please remember me. Please remember me. And Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. Today. You see, God knows our heart. Man will look on the outer appearance. Man will judge you up and down. They'll tell you what you're worth. They'll tell you everything about you. But I want you to know today, God sees the inside of your heart. You see, God knows the intent of your heart. He knows if you've got right motives. He knows if you've got wrong motives. God already knows. But thank God that God doesn't judge us like man, but God sees us in our hearts, and he knows that we need him. And guess what? He needs you. He needs me. Why? Because he loved you. He died for you. He loves you. Listen, the first announcement to the humble shepherd, we must be careful not to restrict and complicate the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people that will try to make up excuses why not to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They'll put excuses and say, well, Pastor, maybe next Sunday. Pastor, maybe when I get my life ready. It's not quite right yet, Pastor, but when it does, I'll call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you say that, you'll never come to him. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Not even your pastor. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible even clearly says that those that act like they're righteous, they're nothing but filthy rags. The only way that you and I can come to the Lord Jesus Christ is to come through the cross. We all have to come through the cross, including your pastor. We all have to come to the cross and say, Lord, I have sinned. Lord, forgive me. I messed up today. Lord, forgive me. You know, I'm struggling with some things, Lord. But it's never where that God brings shame or condemnation to you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation. God is not condemning you, because he clearly says in his word, I have not come to condemn the world, but I have come to save the world which is lost. He knows you need a Savior. He knows that you need him. But the question is, are you ready to accept him? Are you ready to surrender? Because He's ready. All we have to do is just to accept. Listen, He chooses the manger instead of a mansion. He receives all who come to Him. Because with a manger, that's as low as the low as you can get. That's going straight to the animal trough. John 6 and 37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out." Look at this. This is living hope, folks. John 6 and 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." In other words, He will not forsake you. He will not cast you aside. Why? Because He loves you and He's love. Let us return to the manger in this Christmas season. The gospel that meets us where we are today. John 3 and 16, which is a familiar scripture that says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only," the miracle child, "only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He gave you a miracle. He gave you a miracle. What does the birth of Christ mean to you today? Is that your Savior in the manger? Is that your Savior that's on the cross? Because He went through all of that. He went through the manger and He went through the cross. What does the birth of Christ mean to you, and is that your Savior that's in the manger and on the cross? Stand with me across the building today. God does not want us to perish from Him, but He wants us to accept Him. Why? Because He came into this world to set you free. To set you free. I don't know about you, but it's something about when you're in life, when you're dealing with life, you're dealing with struggles, you're dealing with things, they become chains, they become anchors, they become weights that weights you down. And it just seems like you struggle day after day. You put 1 foot forward, three steps back. It just seems like, "Pastor, I can never get ahead. I can never this. I can never that." And I'm going to tell you the answer to getting past that. And that's to say, let God be God in your life.